When you hear the words lighthouse keeper, my bet is the person that pops into your mind is probably wearing yellow foul weather gear and sporting a really ferocious beard. A new film, To Keep the Light, aims to change that image. When she was just 16 years old, Abby Burgess tended the Matinicus Rock Lighthouse off the main coast for 21 days. She'd saved her mother's and sister's lives during a storm when her father was stranded on the mainland. That was in 1856. Ida Lewis saved as many as 25 people in Rhode Island's Newport Harbor when she was lighthouse keeper there in the late 1800s. Ida and Abby are among more than 300 women who tended lighthouses in the U.S. in the 19th century, often taking on the responsibility after their husbands or fathers fell ill or died. And in her new film, Erica Faye tells the story of a fictional woman, also named Abby, who's a composite of those hundreds of women. She shot the film at a still-functioning lighthouse off the coast of Jonesport, Maine. It's screening at the Woods Hole Film Festival this Friday. Erica Faye, who directed and wrote the film and stars in it as Abby, joins us now from NPR in New York. Welcome, Erica.
Thank you so much. Lovely to be here.
So the film is set in Maine in 1876, and let's begin with a clip. In this section, the main character, Abby, played by you, is explaining to Mr. Brackett, a powerful man in Jonesport, that she doesn't need help with the lighthouse.
Thank you, Mr. Brackett, for your concern for me and my husband. Though I assure you, we're just fine. And I am in no need of your nephew's assistance, as I told you yesterday.
I just thought, with those inspectors...
I understand what you thought, but I assure you we're fine.
So at this point, Abby is doing the lighthouse work entirely on her own. Why does she keep that a secret, and is that something that women in this position often did at the time?
She's keeping it a secret because she doesn't really want people in the town to know that her husband is not able to assist her at that time. And some women might have kept this a secret, although some women were very, very public about the help that they were offering to their father or their husband or their brother, whoever would have been the official lighthouse keeper at the time.
Was lighthouse keeper a job that women could apply for in the 19th century, or did they always have to wind up in it through some mishap or tragedy?
Right. As far as I found, they always wound up in the position, and it was generally an inherited or a shared position. In some instances, women who were the spouse of a lighthouse keeper would be hired as the assistant keeper, but not always. Not always, even if they were also doing the work. It wasn't really something that was applied for by women. And actually, it wasn't, as far as I've understood in the research that I did, it wasn't even applied for by men that much either. I mean, of course, people would say that they were interested in it, but it was often kind of like a sought-after position after men had done good service in the war.
And in your research, do you know how women felt about the work of lighthouse keeping, and do you know how the communities around them tended to view them?
Mm-hmm. For the most part, women and men would view it as a challenging job. Mostly, I think that the main thing that was most challenging about it is that you had to tend the light all night. You know, that's the thing. And it's before an era where it was easy to get the oil or whale fat up the stairs and tending to the wicks and cleaning to the lenses and all of that. So there was a lot of ongoing work that just never ceases. That's kind of the main, as far as I've understood, the main difficulty, apart from, of course, crazy storms and horrible weather. And then there's the other element, which is the loneliness. You know, it's definitely a factor in it where people, for the most part, were living in very remote locations and often in places that were really hard to get to. You had to take a rowboat to get out to them. So I think nobody thought that it was a really, really easy job, apart from once, I think some of the people in certain towns that were close to lighthouses understood, oh, wow, this is a government job, and you get not only salary, but you get a place to live. So in some eyes, it was also viewed as a very sought-after position, even though it was also thought of as being pretty difficult.
I'm curious how you chose a lighthouse to film at. I know if I were making a film, I would have said, let's find a lighthouse on a peninsula, on an edge of land, instead of one, on an island.
On an island. Yeah, exactly. Well, I kind of think about it as though I was casting the lighthouse, because I really wanted the lighthouse to look a particular way, both because it was, you know, set in the 1800s, so I needed to find one that hadn't been renovated or restored too extensively, so there wasn't, you know, so there wasn't any pavement around it, and or electrical lights or things like that. But also just the look of it. Some lighthouses, if for those people who really, really love lighthouses know this, some of them are really, really tall and narrow, or some of them are short and squat. And I wanted one that really had, you know, good bones. So first I did research just on the look of them. And then the second piece of research was getting the permission to shoot at a lighthouse within the time period that I was working with. So there were a number of lighthouses that are still owned by the Coast Guard that I could have been interested in, though the process of getting the permission from the Coast Guard was just a much longer process. I think it actually could have been fine in the end. It just would have pushed our deadline further off than we really were interested in doing. So this lighthouse, which is Moose Peak Light, is privately owned. You know, a number of lighthouses have over, I don't know, maybe 10 years at least, have been being sold.
I was just going to say, so it's privately owned, but the Coast Guard still does operate the light and operate the foghorn. And so I wanted you to tell the story of you had to persuade the Coast Guard to turn off the foghorn because you didn't want it in your film every 30 seconds, I guess.
Yes, this was an amazing, amazing pre-production stress moment. You know, we had found the lighthouse, we had gotten the permission, the town of Jonesport, thanks to them, all agreed and said, yes, we'd love to have the film there. So everything was a go. And then we went for a second location scout. And of course, we're like, oh, right, what were we thinking? Like, there's a foghorn that goes off every 2 minutes, really loudly. So we petitioned, basically. We petitioned the Coast Guard. And first was just, you know, using reason, like, hey, can it be turned off when we're shooting? And they said no. And then we said, well, et cetera, et cetera. We eventually got Susan Collins wrote us a letter, the representative from Maine, saying how excited people were in Maine that the film was going to be taking place there and being shot in the region. And they were wooed. You know, they really were wooed, and ended up changing the lighthouse, the foghorn at the lighthouse, over to what is now a mariner activated horn, which was something that conveniently for us they had been working on already. They just hadn't slotted that lighthouse to be transformed into that kind of light, into that kind of lighthouse and foghorn.
And no shipwrecks happened during the filming.
No. Luckily, nobody was wounded and nobody was badly affected by it. So yeah, it was all okay.
I want to listen to another moment from the film. These are the lighthouse inspectors who come to draw up a report on Abby's lighthouse, which they've now learned she's taken care of entirely on her own.
The lens is spot.
She must know that it's unacceptable. She's not the assistant keeper, is she?
No. I think only her husband officially held the post.
Well, then she has no business even being here. There's only one woman I know of who's standing a post, and it's not a sea light. It's just a small post by a lake.
Is everything in order, gentlemen?
Mrs. Moore, I've rarely seen a light in such perfect condition.
So women, Abby does a good job in the film here. I'm curious, you had one screening last night in the Woods Hole as part of the film festival, and the film has been shown at other festivals in 2016. What's the one question you get most often from people who've just seen the film?
I think people, I mean, a very common question is, how did I get the idea to write such a story? You know, that's a pretty standard one. To which I can answer, or we can...
Go ahead, yeah.
Okay. So it came basically from research, and that a lot of my work, I've also made a lot of theater, and this is the first feature film I've made, but I've made other short films, and a lot of my work is coming from women in history. So it's kind of a thing that I'm doing. I'm constantly looking at things and doing research, and sometimes one project will trigger another project. So... I was actually researching a piece on suffrage, which was a theater piece that I had made previously. And I was in the era of the 1800s and landed upon this story of women lighthouse keepers, and I had never heard of it. And having grown up in Massachusetts, I was particularly struck because I thought, my gosh, you know, I grew up in the region, and why have I not heard of these stories? So that was the first kind of strike of the match, at least in my own interest and curiosity. And then as I sort of dug deeper and came to understand that many women who had done this all came upon these positions at a moment of actually like very intense personal circumstances, given that a father or a husband or a brother was either very, very sick or unable to move or in some instances had passed. And that these women, in the middle of dealing with a very intense personal struggle, we can say, or in some, you know, or difficulty, then would immediately go and do the action of taking care of the lighthouses. So that was a really inspiring thing for me in terms of the meeting point of both the personal and social or political action.
And it's hard to imagine a more isolated place to be in that sort of situation. We are just about out of time. I want to thank you, Erica, for joining us. Erica Fay is writer and director of the film To Keep the Light. She also stars in it as Abby. It's screening Friday night at the Woods Hole Film Festival. For more information about the film and the festival, you can go to our website, radioboston.org. We're listening to original music from To Keep the Light, composed by Pulitzer Prize winner Caroline Shaw. Erica, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Scott Kersner. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.